Welcome back to South Africans Abroad, a show for expat South Africans and anyone interested in the experiences of those who have made the move overseas. Each episode, we'll hear from South Africans who have left the country to pursue new opportunities, be with loved ones, or simply follow their dreams. We'll explore the challenges and triumphs of life as an expat and the unique perspective that comes with being a South African abroad. I'm your host, Warren Burley, an expat South African who, like many, followed the dream of working overseas. Whether you're an expat yourself or just curious about the expat experience, join us as we delve into the motivations, struggles, and joys of being a South African living overseas. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to Florida to speak with Nicole Woodstock. Nicole is a mother, an artist, and an entrepreneur from Johannesburg. Nicole, how are you doing?
Hey, Warren, good and you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Do you want to just introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about you?
Hey, everyone. My name's Nicole. I am a mother, a wife, entrepreneur, and most foremost, an artist.
Okay, great. When we first met, you were in advertising. What brought on the change?
It was a great industry to be in when I was younger. But when I decided that I wanted to have a family, it just wasn't possible. I couldn't fall pregnant. The stress levels were too high. The demands were too high. There was no free time. So I thought, okay, I've given my all to this industry. I've had my fun, so it's now time to move on.
Okay, so how long have you been in the States now?
Just over 2 years.
Everywhere you could have gone in the world, why America?
I think it's living the American dream. You know, we could have easily gone over to Europe. I've got an Italian passport. So we could have gone to the UK, we could have gone to Europe, but there's just nothing quite as empowering as getting into the States. You know, nobody can, it's this unattainable dream. And to be able to do that was quite incredible, actually.
Okay. So let's just talk about that for a second. So how difficult was it for you to get into the States? Because, I mean, it's not, like you said, it's not an easy thing, right?
Task.
Yeah.
No, it was mammoth. It was, it's a constant uphill slog. It's expensive. It's at times soul destroying, but also super rewarding. You know, every now and then Keith and I, my husband and I, look at each other and we're like, we're in America. Sometimes it's really surreal.
And, what is your visa status at the moment?
So we came over on an L1 visa. So Keith did a startup business of his business in South Africa.
Right.
We brought it across this side. So it's an executive transfer L1 visa. Myself and the kids are on the L2, which piggyback off the L1.
Right.
So it's quite an executive visa. It's one of the more expensive ones to do unless you do the straight buyout, which, you know, unless you've got a little bit of cash hanging around, that's not an option for everyone.
Just tell everyone what Keith does.
So he's got an engineering business in South Africa. He does shelving, pallet racking, expandable security gates, adjustable louver awnings. We also dabble in building and rentals. So he builds our properties. I manage the rentals. I still do that from this side.
Yeah.
And we found that the best option for us to bring across and the easiest was shelving and overhead ceiling racks because everybody needs storage this side. I can't actually believe how people use their garages as storage space, not as a parking space for their vehicles.
Yep. And they all sit outside their garages like all day.
That's bizarre. That's bizarre. But anyway, it's fine when you've got to fit into, you know, a new norm, I suppose.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, security gates and stuff like that, I mean, that can't be that big. I mean, I'm sure it's getting to a point now where it's starting to, you know, pick on, but there can't be much business for that, yeah, surely.
Yeah, we haven't actually investigated that route at all because it's not a crime-ridden place, especially not where we are in Lake Mary, Florida. You know, that's non-existent. There's no walls. There's no security on the windows and doors. So it's not needed.
And how did you just talking about security and stuff like that, how did you find that, like, when you first arrived here? Because I was in shock. There's no walls. There's no security gates.
Yeah, I felt very unsafe and vulnerable, actually. It took me a good long while to adjust to that because, you know, we all know, especially from Joburg, you live behind these high walls and electric fence and security bars and beams. And then you come here and there's nothing and it's dark outside and you're like, there's no walls. There's nothing protecting us.
And it's quiet.
Well, I don't know about quiet. There's fire engines and police sirens going all the time, but it's like just so dramatic. They deployed for a cat that's stuck up in a tree.
And the whole world must stop.
Yeah.
Don't you find it crazy also, like when a fire engine or something comes down the road, everyone just pulls over to the side of the road?
It's incredible. It's a party trick. If we have visitors over from Joburg, the courtesy of other drivers. So everybody's like, oh, the I-4, it's so crazy and it's terrible to drive on. But there's four lanes and people stick to those four lanes. There's two shoulders on either side. And if you indicate, people slow down and let you in. You know, in South Africa, you indicate and people speed up to close the gap. So it's just totally different.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. Did you explore the whole of America or did you just go straight, we want to go to Florida?
So our process was, okay, we're going to the US. Great. Then we looked at all the different states and we're like, we don't want cold. We don't want to be shoveling snow. Mm. We active outdoor people, so we don't really want to be restricted to the house. That was another thing why we didn't go to Europe, because we don't want to have to deal with the cold.
Right.
So that narrowed it down. And then also the taxes. So you don't get personal tax, and the taxes were a big criteria for us. So it kind of narrowed it down to Texas and Florida. Then we were like, okay, we're starting up a business. Texas is very vast. So to start something and be able to spread it out would take a lot more time. So that narrowed it down to Florida.
Okay.
Then I wanted to be on the coastline, but Keith works for steel. So we were like, okay, it can't be coast. So Central Florida. Then it was, what are the good school zones? Because obviously the kids are going to public schools. Mm-hmm. And that narrowed it down to, it was Lake Mary, Oviedo, and Lake Nona. Keith managed to get warehouse space in Longwood, so Lake Mary it was. That was basically our process.
Don't choose it, because everybody says everything in Florida is trying to kill you.
Freaking hell. That's true. So in South Africa, we've got amazingly scary creatures.
Yeah.
But they'll kill you quickly, you know, and they're not everywhere. Yeah. Florida, there's bugs. The mosquitoes will carry you away. There's little things that they like to nickname no-see-ems. And that you don't, because you don't see them. They're tiny little midges. And they sting you. So it feels like elastic bands snapping on your skin.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, mosquito bites, they maybe last 1 or 2 days. The no-see-em bites, they last for weeks and weeks. And they itch. And it's crazy. Then snakes. I've never seen such a high density of snakes in my life.
Oh, my God.
We live on, in South Africa, we have a 5.5 hectare plot on the river. And there were snakes, but not in the density that we've seen them here. So Keith goes and plays golf, and if people hit their balls into the rough, they just leave it. So Keith was like, that's ridiculous. Golf balls are expensive. He knocked it, landed in the rough. He went to fetch it, and a snake was coiled around it.
Oh, my God.
So it's just like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. And then also alligators, but they're the most stupid creatures. Like, we think alligators, crocodiles are like the same variant. Yeah. Nah, these things are so docile and so slow. Obviously, you don't go out there dawn and dusk and you don't harass the things, but they really don't pay much attention to people.
No. So that's one of the reasons I didn't go to Florida.
What? Because all the creatures?
All the bugs and no. As big as I am, when it comes to snakes and crocodiles and bugs that you can't see that want to kill you, no, thank you. So.
No, I'm still alive and it's 2 years down the line, so we'll be fine. Yes. And there's lots of people here. You know what? You learn to cope. What I have struggled with, so we decided to go to somewhere that was warm. But oh my goodness, summers, like July, August in Florida, it's brutal. It's brutal. It's humid and it's hot and it's like searing. You want to melt.
It sounds like a right party out there.
No, it's great. I love it. The other thing that took quite a lot of getting used to was it's so flat in Florida.
Yeah.
There's no like rolling hills and mountains and nothing that we're used to in South Africa.
Yeah.
So, and also because of all the waterways, the roads are not mapped. Like, it's quite easy to follow roads in most places because they run straight and cross diagonally across each other. Yeah. This place, they weave and they turn, and yeah, it's interesting. So when you're coming to visit.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, that's one of the reasons we chose California. Okay, California, I mean, obviously got its problems, you know, with the taxes and things like that. But I have to see mountains and ocean and, I went to Texas. We went to go check out Texas, and Texas is also just flat. I could see like every city from the airport. It was insane. I was like, no, just, you know, not for me. And then also the heat and extreme cold and extreme heat. And then also everything in Texas wants to kill you. So,
yeah,
you know.
Including the people with their guns.
Including the people. There's a church and a gun shop on every corner. It's so weird.
Oh, it's crazy. But, you know, having what we have in Florida, there's a lot of beauty and a lot of water.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm drawn to water, so.
Yeah. Look, the thing about the States is the beauty. People don't understand how, like, when I first arrived here, I was in awe for a long time. Like, everywhere you look, it's amazing. And every place you go to, I mean, Idaho and just everywhere, it's insanely beautiful.
And totally different. It's like each little state is its own country. Yeah, like Florida is, most of South Africa can fit into Florida.
Yeah.
So, like, just to give perspective to people on the size of the states.
That's the other thing. People don't realize how big the place is. It's like, you look on a map, let's just walk to the shop or whatever. 2 hours later, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, bad idea. Let's buy a car, you know.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Tell me, let's talk about the kids for a second. How have they adjusted to the States life?
Oh, they've thrived, basically. We got there, I think because the accent is such a novelty, they were like – really interesting for the other kids. And then South Africa, as many problems as there are, there's huge advantages, there's huge pros as well. So our education system is actually quite high, especially coming from private schools. They got into school and like sailed, you know, it's just easy. And what the States does is they really want to give the kids opportunities to do well. So if they don't do well in an exam or they fail an assignment, there's opportunities to redo and get extra credits.
Yeah.
They really want to help kids. And so both my kids are really sporty and active. And just the opportunities with that alone. So Slade with his football, he's passionate about it. I know Brandon is as well. But how far they can go with football and how far Talia's passionate about basketball and swimming. There's just so many opportunities here that we just are not exposed to anywhere else.
And it's not just football, like the big sports. Brandon's playing, he's doing shot put and things at the moment. There's scholarships for shot put. I mean, that's insane.
Everything.
Like anything you want to do, which is, I mean, that's a big plus, yeah. And tell me, because, I mean, they came here pretty late in their school career, right, in their school life.
Yes.
We were quite lucky. When we came over here, Brandon was starting school. So he started straight in the system and he doesn't, you know, he didn't really know anything else. Also, you know, he picked up the accent straight away. We often get phone calls from the school, like his friends from school saying, oh, are you really from South Africa? Brandon says he's from South Africa, you know. So do they have any challenges with that?
So Talia, no, she switches. So we love to say to her when she's home, Talia speaks South African because she'll be speaking American.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she's with her friends, she speaks, you wouldn't know that she's not from South Africa. So she can switch it on and off. Slade, on the other hand, he's totally South African. What's interesting is new words that he's learned are American words, but his general day-to-day language is South African. So initially it was interesting. Then he went through a patch where he was teased about it and ostracized. Mm-hmm. And now that he's kind of got into high school and he's found football, he's kind of found his people. Now it's all settled and he's thriving. So, but I find it a challenge. You know, you think it's English. You know, we're speaking the same language. But it's so random. It's so not. And you, like going through a drive-through is very challenging.
Yes, we
because
know.
They just don't understand. And Tavia's friends, I'll speak to them, and she literally translates for me.
Yeah.
So I'll say something. They'll look at me blank. She'll say exactly the same thing. I'm like, that's just what I said.
Yeah.
So it's bizarre.
Where we stay, there's not many foreigners. You know, we live in a little town called Eastvale. And there's not many foreign. I mean, I don't think they've ever seen another South African.
Yeah.
Also, where my son goes to school is Norco. It's a cowboy town. It's known as Cowboy Town.
That's cool.
I mean, there's people on horseback going to school.
Oh, that's awesome.
And when they hear our accent as well, especially drive-thrus, they no clue. Can I have some tomato? What?
What?
And then my son goes, tomato. And it's like, that's what I said.
That's exactly the same thing.
All of a sudden, you have to speak a foreign language. It's crazy. And I mean, we've been at 10 years now, and still.
And also, like, words are just so different. Like, pavement, sidewalk, traffic, like, robot, boot. If I say to Sally, put something in the boot, her friends are like, huh? No, mom, it's a trunk. Use the right words. Yeah. And the other day, I needed to get Slade to a wrestling meet, and I had four of his friends in the car with me. And for some reason, half the wrestling meet was in one area and then the next half was in another area and I didn't realize. So I went to the first place and I was almost there and the kids started laughing and I was like, what's wrong? No, you're at the wrong place. So I was running so late and I crossed over the center island to do a U-turn. Yeah. And when I was explaining it to one of the other moms, she's like, you went all the way to the islands? I'm like, no, what do you mean? You know that little centerpiece between the two roads? I had to cross. She's like, oh, the median?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's the center island, chick.
Yeah, there's nothing medium about it.
My brother-in-law was a doctor in South Africa, a GP, and he had his own practice. But if there were emergencies, he'd deal with the emergency. And like our casualties, you do everything. He moved to the UK, and he's now in the hospitals, but he can only do what he's designated to do. So if there's an emergency coming in and he needs to do tracheotomy, he's not allowed to because he's not qualified to do that. And I find the same thing in the States. They're so over the top cautious with medical things. And I think it's all about the not being sued because, you know, you can sue for everything this side. But it's just, I actually find it quite pathetic how, firstly, how expensive medical is and how your standard GP, everything's a referral. So I'm like, why am I going to the GP in the first place? And dental is stupid expensive. But anyway, it's one of the negatives, but there's a lot of positives. So I think with anything and anywhere, there's pros and cons always.
Yeah. Just going back to, you know, the language barriers and things like that. Have you encountered any stereotypes about South Africa?
I find that they don't really know much about South Africa. So firstly, if they hear the accent, it's either immediately British or Australian. Sometimes at a push, New Zealand, but very, very seldom South African because I don't think they just don't encounter it much and they don't watch South African TV. There's no place of reference for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of them are like, okay, so you come from South Africa. Where about in Africa is that? I'm like, are you shitting me? South Africa, it's the bottom part of Africa. The name says it all. It's South Africa, its own little country right at the bottom of Africa. So once you've got over explaining that, then it's like, okay, so do you have running water? Do you have Wi-Fi? And do you have animals in your backyard? And so those kind of stereotypes. And then obviously the kids love it.
Right.
And they're like, yes, we had a pet hippo. And, you know, they speak real crap. Because they just laugh that it's so extreme that people actually think that way.
Well, you probably got more animals in your backyard now, right?
Yeah. Yep. I've got a pet snake that kind of slithers out every summer.
You're not allowed to talk about snakes,
I have to try and avoid it.
Yeah. No snakes, no spiders. Oh, my God. Because I've heard about the spiders there as well. Anyway.
I haven't really encountered spiders, which is great because I'm terrified of spiders. But snakes, I'm okay with. So,
have you traveled a lot since you've been here?
We haven't yet. To be passionate about traveling and we really want to see more of the States. But to be very honest with you, it's been tough. Financially, it's been hard. You know, you don't have the labor force that you have in South Africa. So basically, you're it.
Yeah.
I joked the other day with my mom and I said, I'm sick and tired of my housekeeper. She's useless. She's miserable. She doesn't do things properly. She's forgetful. I need to find another one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, but actually, oops, that's me. You know, so we don't have the luxuries of, we take for granted in South Africa how spoiled we are. And like our labor force, they're really useful because people here don't want to work. We've got the Mexicans, which on our L1 we cannot employ.
Yeah.
So they want to work based, like generally.
Yeah.
I am generalizing, but they're more the workforce. And then the Floridians are super lazy and just don't want to do anything. So we desperately want to travel, but we just need to kind of get a house first. And there's so many other things we need to do before we explore the rest of the states.
Everybody goes to do that, right? I mean, you know, financially and people come over here. I mean, we were all blessed back home. Let's put it down. I mean, we were all doing well, but we worked our whole life to get where we were. And then all of a sudden we pack up and start over. We come overseas and we think it's going to be all roses. How did you cope, or how are you coping with that? The big change, you know?
There's days where I hate it, but it's been a great life lesson for my kids. Because once again, we were really spoiled in South Africa. We had businesses, we had properties, we were thriving. Yeah. And if we went to the shops and they wanted gum or they wanted chocolate or they wanted cold drink, it was like, okay, cool, you can have it. Whereas now they want, and it's like, sorry guys, you can't have it. It's either you're going to get dinner or you're going to get junk food. Yeah. And quite honestly, dinner's what it's going to be. Also for them to move from like a 800 square meter house to a tiny little condominium where you can't swing cats. It's been challenging for them, but it's taught them that life's not always going to stay the same. What you have today, you might not have tomorrow. Appreciate what you have and make the best of every situation, because yes, you're living in a tiny little house now that's not ours, but you can walk to your friends' houses and you can walk to the complex pool and not worry about anything. You can drive down the road with your windows down. And you can have an education and opportunities going forward. So that was the biggest move for us. It was not for Keith and I. You know, we were doing well. We were fine there, except for the load shedding and stuff. But looking forward and opportunities for Slade and Talia, that was why we moved.
Yeah. And look, I think 90% of the people I talk to on the podcast, that's their reason, is their children.
Yeah.
It's opportunity for them. I mean, the opportunities are endless here. You can be anything you want to be. You just can't be lazy. And hopefully the South African in them kicks in forever. Because South Africa, that's one thing we're not, is lazy. I mean, that's why we're great.
We're good workers.
Yeah, we'll thrive no matter what, right? Is there a big South African community where you are?
None.
Oh, nice.
No, I think we've met maybe three other South African couples,
right,
like close to where we stay. Okay. There's one family that we met on a skiing trip that was with a group of Keith's friends many years ago, and they stay in Ormond Beach, which is about 15 minutes drive from us.
Okay.
But otherwise, no. So they are the SAFA groups. And they do have get-togethers, but it's not like it's close to us.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I'm not too perturbed about being just with South Africans. Because just because you're South African doesn't mean that you're going to get together and enjoy each other's company. There's people that I wouldn't socialize with in South Africa because we're just not the same. So why suddenly, because I'm in another country, must we become best friends? I'd rather... You've moved to another country, you need to integrate and become that country instead of staying back and trying to hold on to South Africa so hard.
And what do you miss about South Africa?
I miss my parents. Mm-hmm. That's been really hard. My brother. I miss the space of my house.
Yeah.
There's just something about South Africa that's nowhere else in the world. And quite honestly, I didn't leave South Africa, and I'm not going to bash South Africa because I hated the country. I love the country. I'll always be South African. And it's in your blood. But right now, I don't have any desire to go back just because I need to be looking forward and need to make America my home.
Okay, on that, do you ever see yourself going back?
Not for a long time, no. Not unless I absolutely have to. Because you touched on the subject of traveling. And I'm like, okay, I've seen and done 98% of South Africa. But now I must spend all that money to travel back there when I can explore that money I can use to explore two different states this side.
Yeah.
So unless there's an emergency, no. Keith has to travel backwards and forwards. Obviously, we've still got our businesses that side.
Yeah.
but to do it as an entire family, no, I don't want to.
All right. So any advice you would give to someone that wants to move to Florida?
I'd say be prepared.
Bring lots of golf balls.
Yeah. I'd say be prepared for the heat because it's intense. It's like Mozambique heat. And be open to wherever you move, be open and receptive to that space. Don't be closed off and like try and stay South African, because I think that is super difficult. If you make the decision to move, then you do it wholeheartedly, because otherwise you'll never be happy. I know too many people that have moved somewhere, hated it because they didn't embrace it, moved back to South Africa, hated it, moved again. So until you decide to be happy, you won't be, no matter where you are.
Some good advice there. All right, Nicole. Well,
thanks.
Thank you. That was quite a nice chat, and I appreciate your time.
Awesome. Nice catching up.
Hopefully we'll come visit soon when all the snakes die.
Yeah, come in winter, because then it's temperate and there's no creatures out.
Yeah. All right, Nicole. we'll definitely catch up soon. Thanks again, and
alrighty.
Have a good one.
Cheers, Warren. Bye.
If you're eager to explore more stories of South Africans abroad, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a moment. For exclusive updates, discussions, and a chance to connect with fellow listeners, be sure to join our vibrant community on Facebook. Just search for South Africans Abroad Podcast and become part of the conversation. There you'll find additional content, behind-the-scenes insights, and an easy way to access all your favorite episodes. So until next time, check your Tuesday.